Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, April the 30th. We thank you for listening to AFR. Co-hosting with me today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Hello there.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray, good morning to you.
Hey, what's up, Tim? How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing, my friend?
Listen, it's bright, sunny skies. Blue skies, the sun is shining. We're going to be up around 74 degrees today. It's good golf weather, Tim.
Bike ride on tap today?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. After the program, Marlene and I are going out to, we're having a little picnic. This is our date day. So I have a little picnic out on the trail where I ride my bike, and then I'll come back and
How do you carry your food?
Well, it's called McDonald's or Taco Bell or Culver's.
Oh, I'm just envisioning a basket and a blanket and making your own food.
But peanut butter sandwich.
Bicycle drive through? What is it?
Well, there's the road out to the trail. There's Culver's on one side and then McDonald's and Taco Bell. And, Taco Bell, that's pretty good picnic food. So we may be catered by Taco Bell today.
But how do you get it? Is what I'm saying. Do you go through the drive through window on your bike?
No. I'll take Marlene out for the picnic. Then I'll bring her back. Then I'll take my bike out to the trail.
He's going to drive his vehicle.
That's
through
right.
The Taco Bell drive.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And then go out there.
There's a lake out by the trail, and you can just sit there, and Hey, in these days of quarantine, you gotta make your dates wherever you can.
That's right. Stay sane.
I hear you. Now, is Montana? Your son's in Montana. One of your sons in Montana. He's
that's right.
There, they're
right.
Wide open, aren't they?
They're basically wide open and opening more every single day. Kansas is a little bit we're a couple of weeks behind that. I think.
Well, my wife Allison, the other day she said. We got these two airline tickets that have to be used by May 19th or we lose them.
Ooh.
And she's thinking, fly to Montana so we can eat at a steakhouse.
And you get your hair cut if you need to.
That's what I'm saying. Just take care of all essentials.
That's right.
So anyway.
That's really not a bad idea. Fly to one of the states that's opened up.
Probably wouldn't be anybody on there on the plane.
That's right.
All right, Dr. Alex McFarland will join us at 10:45 Central Time, so we look forward to talking to Alex. And, all right, Fred, what's leading the news?
Well, I'll tell you what, we know that President Trump, pretty well from day one, has been talking about deep state, swamp, talking about Washington and all the problems that kind of the ugliness underneath everything. Well, by golly, he got some ammunition for that argument yesterday. I think most of our listeners are familiar with Michael Flynn, former national advisor to the president.
Three-star general.
And they're familiar with the fact the FBI went after him. He pled guilty to telling an untruth. But the more we learn about this, he was pretty well forced into that by the FBI, and that has something to do with what we're going to tell you about this morning. There are new documents from FBI agents that went over to the White House in January of 2017. So that's just when Trump moved into the White House. National Advisor Michael Flynn. FBI calls, hey, we want to come over and have a little chat with you. What's being revealed this morning is from notes that one of the FBI agents who did the questioning, notes that he took, they have been released in the last 24 hours. Here's what the note says. What is our goal? Now, this is the agent. truth, admission, or get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? Now, the agent wrote that after he met with the FBI Director James Comey and his assistant Andrew McCabe. Now, what we've been told all along, this was a setup by the FBI. Mm-hmm. And now these notes prove it. And we now can go back to a piece of audio from James Comey, who was asked in 2018, I think this was an interview, who cleared this for these agents to go over and basically trap Michael Flynn. Cut number three, Brent.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration. The FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official. You would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
Yeah, what James Comey said in that interview, he said, you know, back in the days of the George W. Bush administration, Barack Obama administration, I couldn't have done this. But, you know, Trump just got in the White House. They were disorganized. And I said, hey, let's go and try this.
Mm. That's the way he said that. So yeah. Cavalier, Ray. Yeah. So pompous. So
he said we could get away with it.
For an FBI director to say get away with something? Yeah, that's the insinuation, Walker. Mm-hmm. Then Ray can finish his thoughts. Or the insinuation there, if not beyond an insinuation, is that he knew he was doing something out of the ordinary to try to get, as we find out now, try to get General Flynn either entrap him,
yeah,
or get him fired.
Yeah, these comments, along with the notes that are now revealed, declassified, released, where the FBI agent's writing down on his notepad his intent to get Flynn to lie, even though he's done no wrong. This entire investigation from day one before the election to all the way 2 to 3 years later after Mueller finished up his investigation, the entire thing from day one was completely tainted. From not just tainted from a public perspective, but from, in my opinion, a legal perspective, because you have investigators who are clearly biased. And they're out to get and bring down Trump officials, even though those officials, there's no evidence of them committing any crimes whatsoever before the investigation began. So that someone has to go to jail over this.
Well, now, Fred, what was it Michael Flynn confessed to?
He confessed under pressure to making a false statement.
That he had met with the Russian ambassador. Right, Walker?
Yes.
Yes. That's why he left the White House.
Right. But they tried to frame it as he was some kind of Russian spy. That was the reason
Correct.
They wanted to get him.
Yes.
Ray, go ahead.
Well, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. And it seems to me, you know, Walker, you said somebody needs to go to prison over this. And that's absolutely right. But even before that, something has to happen to clear General Flynn's name. I mean, we see what's going on. So what's the next? Do you go back to court to get the charges dropped? Or are you waiting for a pardon? Or what would give General Flynn his good name back? What needs to happen?
That's what Flynn is trying to do. He's trying to remove that guilty plea now that the truth is being made public, that he was coerced into this by the FBI, coerced in making a confession of sorts of lying. Hmm. Now he says, now that the truth is getting out, I want to withdraw my guilty plea.
It makes you, it seems like it was something personal between James Comey, the former FBI director. It's like, you know, General Flynn beat him at golf and cost him $1,000 or something, and he's trying to get revenge. I mean, that's what the man sounds like when he's talking about a 3-star general who served our country all these years.
Yeah,
he's a newly appointed national security advisor for President Trump. And keep in mind, folks, we have laws against entrapment, right?
Right.
The we have constitutional rights against entrapment. Andrew McCarthy on Fox News last night, he's a former federal prosecutor, and he said he said if it would have been a gangbanger, I think is what he said, that these FBI agents were sent to talk to, they would have had to have told him he was being investigated for.
Tim, we have that clip from Andrew McCarthy last night.
Do we? Okay, well, let's hear this.
Cut number four.
If General Flynn was a gangbanger or a mafia guy, they would have sat down with him. They would have told him this is a criminal investigation. They would have identified themselves as FBI agents, told him the reason for the interview, told him he had a right not to answer questions, told him if he made false statements that could be grounds for prosecution, yep. And if he made true statements, that could be used against him in a prosecution. They would do all those things for a criminal. Well, hopefully we're about to see the paper trail on it, and the more disclosure we get, the better.
Remember also an element of these two agents going over. Basically, Flynn was told, hey, you don't need any counsel in the room. This is just a chit-chat.
Right. He asked, do I need a lawyer, a White House counsel? And they told him no.
No, this is just a chit-chat.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Walker, seems to me the likelihood here of either A, this being tossed out. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how General Flynn gets his name back or his, well, that'll be part of getting his name back. But he's had to sell his house to cover all his lawyer fees to defend himself. You're talking about a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why he wouldn't be rehired by the administration. I mean, he's literally done no wrong, or at least, you know, hired by someone to keep doing his good work that he was doing.
But why would James Comey and then why would the FBI want to do something like this? I guess that's the bigger question to me. The FBI has a stellar name and reputation in the eyes of the American public, for the most part. Over their history, and James Comey's comments there a few minutes ago, I don't know if he let his guard down for a few minutes to speak freely.
Well, the Democrats, specifically the Clintons and the Obamas, are known for their revenge politics, and not just revenge politics and let's beat you in the next election. This is revenge politics, and we'll use all and any and all tools necessary to ruin your life. I mean, we've seen this with others. They've tried it on President Trump. But Flynn was an outspoken, I don't know if you want to call him a critic of Obama's foreign policy. He definitely disagreed within the military ranks on Obama's foreign policy.
Obama fired him.
Yeah, so President Obama fired him. So Flynn was not liked by the Clintons and many of the establishment in Washington. So that could have played a role in why they chose to go after him.
Well, Obama even encouraged Trump not even to hire Flynn.
Right.
So the bad blood went forward. Also, guess who one of the interrogating agents was?
One of the two that went over to the White House to set him up?
Yeah. Does this name bring any bells? Peter Strzok.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Strzok. A man who, one of the agents who just loved Hillary Clinton and was an anti-Trumper. And by the way, according to this Fox News story, the documents also reveal that ex-FBI lawyer Lisa Page emailed her boyfriend Strzok concerning how to conduct the Flynn interview.
A lot of this is based on technicalities and not necessarily illegal activity, what the FBI did. But to me, when you get into lying to the FISA court, like we all know they did, where you sign your name, where James Comey signs his name on the bottom of a 100-page FISA warrant application that says everything in here is true, and they all know it's not true, that's lying to the court. You just can't do that. So that's one clear lawless activity that he can be held accountable for.
You combine that with the Mueller investigation. So the overarching theme here continues to be that the deep state, and by that I mean career politicians, whether they were for Republican or Democrat, but mostly Democrats. Mm-hmm. There were some Republicans who couldn't stand Trump either, but I'm just saying they wanted to cut the knees off of the Trump administration before it ever began, right? Because I would guess, Ray, and I'm just speculating here now, but I'm guessing if they had a valid intention, and I'm not saying that they did, they would have seen themselves, by they I mean James Comey, Strzok, the people that were a part of the deep state, and other people whose names we'll never know, who they viewed themselves as saving America from Donald Trump and his administration, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't even think that's speculation. That's a fact.
Okay.
They're on the record as saying how shocked they were by his winning the election in 2016, how angry they were. And they truly did see themselves as saviors of the country. So they set up this. This is a sting. And Andy McCarthy is right. General Flynn would have been better off if he'd been a drug dealer, because they would have treated him as a drug dealer better than they treated a three-star general.
Yeah.
But they, in their own minds, Tim, completely justified in what they did. It stinks.
There's one more aspect to this that I wanted to address on this story. And Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan talked about this morning, interview with Fox and Friends. Why did it take so long for us to see these notes from this agent?
That's a good question.
All right. It's cut number one, Brent.
Now we learn they go after Mike Flynn and set him up just days into the new administration. What I want to know is, why didn't Bob Mueller tell us this? Remember, in May of 2017, when Bob Mueller's named special counsel, we were told this is the greatest guy who's ever come to Washington. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's the most honest guy since George Washington. Why didn't he tell us this? And maybe more importantly, where's Christopher Wray? Why didn't we learn any of this from him? Bob Mueller had 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, $30 million in 2 years to do this, and we're just now learning it. Thank goodness Bill Barr put U.S. Attorney Jensen in charge of this to go back and look at the Mike Flynn situation. And again, thank goodness that Sidney Powell has been pushing for this, or we wouldn't get this information.
Sidney Powell is Michael Flynn's new lawyer, and this came to light because of her. But something that Jordan just said there, why has Christopher Wray been sitting on this? Why?
Yeah.
Well, I can just tell you a layman's opinion of that. I guess it's one of the reasons we're here, because the FBI wanted to cover their own rear ends.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
That's good.
Sure. This is bad for the FBI, and everybody's trying to help each other cover each other's rear ends. That's the only thing I can, not the only thing, but that seems to me.
Yeah, why Christopher Wray just can't say, yeah, we messed up this one. You know, we did a lot of crooked things, and we're not going to do it again.
I would like James Comey to be asked the question, what do you mean by get away with? When he used that phraseology there, again, I don't know where he was. Was he making an appearance at on a college campus?
It was some kind of forum where he was just basically he was a one-on-one Q&A and with an audience.
For an FBI director to ever use the words for his agency to quote get away, isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, the other option here is that the President of the United States does have the authority to pardon General Flynn, and I think that's a no-brainer for a president. President Trump could do that today, right?
Hypothetically, yeah.
But now he hasn't been sentenced, I don't think.
No. I don't think Flynn's been. I know Manafort's been sentenced, and
it might be better for him just to wait this whole thing out. I'm talking about the president and see what happens, because if he were to pardon him today, maybe that would be the end of the story.
Well, the president is responding.
Really?
Yes. He has tweeted out this morning, what happened to General Michael Flynn, a war hero, should never be allowed to happen to a citizen of the United States again. And then he went further this morning. The president, does anybody really believe that Roger Stone, a man whose house was raided early in the morning by 29 gun-toting FBI agents, with CNN just happened to be present?
Yeah.
What about that? And by the way, he took a shot at CNN this morning, and I checked on this. on CNN's website as of 20 minutes ago, not a mention of this story.
It didn't own Drudge either.
Not mm-hmm. there.
It wasn't like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You know, the deep state includes the media.
Yes.
They're not going to cover this story. They don't want to cover this story. This is a huge story. Again, the news media used to be, you know, they've always tilted left.
Right.
But the news media used to be about covering the big stories of the day and giving both perspectives and things like that. Today's news media, and I'm not talking about opinion shows like Sean Hannity, for example. I'm talking about straight news, like the newspapers and news sites who purport to, you know, give it to you straight. Mm-hmm. They've chosen sides in this whole thing, not just the Flynn story, but to in other words, they're not covering the Biden story either.
The thing that has changed, Tim, is, as you said, the media, mainstream media, has always leaned left, and we've always known it. But at least in the old days, they made some attempts, some sincere attempts to sound like they were being even-handed. I think they've basically thrown that away now. The truth is out, and I think they don't even care about appearing impartial anymore.
Right.
In the tank for the left.
When you have Vice President Biden on and you don't ask him, like Chuck Todd and Jake Tapper and those guys, these are mainstream news agencies, and they don't even ask him.
Right.
Yeah.
About the alleged, you know, sexual abuse of Tara Reid. You're listening to Today's Issues. Walker, if folks want to watch us and get the information we're talking about here, the stories we're discussing, Fred posts them and Brent posts them on our Facebook page, right?
Yeah, that's right. Today's Issues Facebook page, you can not only find the links to the stories we're talking about, but you can also watch the show there on Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues, and we're also on the internet. AFR.net's our website, AFR.net, and then you can download the AFR app to listen live.
We've got about a minute to go. Fred, can I ask you one question? I know we got other stories to get to. You've been tracking the coronavirus statistics,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Have we had any? Is it blowing up anywhere across the country that you're aware of outside of, you know, subsiding in New York?
Yeah, I mean, New York still has the
right
incredible. It is the epicenter, New York, New Jersey.
But that's on the decline, right?
That's on the decline as far as rate of hospitalizations, et cetera, et cetera. But as far as blowing up anywhere, no, it's pretty consistent. And in the states that are effective tomorrow, opening up, as we've been talking about all week, states like Texas, the numbers are still incredibly low, Florida. So they're moving forward based on those statistics.
So the curve has been flattened.
Across the country?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Overall, very much so.
Yeah.
Okay. Very much so.
Well, now it's going to be a matter of seeing the states open up and mm-hmm. If we do see a growth in numbers of, I'm sure we will some, you know, hospitalizations and deaths, because mm-hmm. you're going to have people out doing, but I guess what I'm saying now we're sort of beginning to see, is this going to be about control unnecessarily and overreach, or is this going to, or, you know, we're going to be, that's going to be exposed,
yeah.
I think, for a lot of people.
Yep.
You see where the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi tried to
ban the Second Amendment.
The open carry?
Yeah, he tried to outlaw open carry via executive fiat, which outlawing open carry is essentially outlawing the Second Amendment.
And the city council overruled it.
Yeah, unanimously.
Pretty much all Democrats. But that's what I'm talking about, overreach by some of these, quote, progressive politicians. We'll be back in a minute with more of Today's Issues. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Well, if you're going to quarantine yourself through September, there's no point in listening to the rest of this spot. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. And we've got a great spiritual heritage tour lined up in September. It includes back-to-back tours. First of all, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And then we're going on to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and we're going to see George Washington's Mount Vernon estate as well. So those are two separate tours. You can do either or if you want to do them back-to-back, you can do that as well. So these tours are September 16th through the 20th for Washington, D.C., and September 13th through the 16th for Williamsburg. If you want all the information on our Spiritual Heritage Tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. Mississippi State Representative Dana Criswell has a message for the mayor of Jackson. Keep your hands off our guns. The state representative, along with the Mississippi Justice Institute, filed a lawsuit against the mayor, alleging him of violating the Constitution. The mayor announced a temporary ban on open carry laws the other day, citing the coronavirus outbreak. Representative Criswell said that citizens across the country have been doing their best to accept these coronavirus mandates, but he says it makes him angry when he sees politicians taking advantage of the goodwill of the people. Criswell is also a federally licensed firearms dealer. He says he takes the protection of his family very seriously. But the mayor says the city's emergency order allows him to suspend the right to bear arms. The Mississippi Attorney General feels otherwise, told the city to rescind the ban. Folks, you've got to beware of elected leaders using this virus to infringe on our constitutional rights. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, speaking of golf, Ray, I got a golf story for you.
Okay, good.
By the way, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues. If you want to send us an email, go to comments at afr.net, comments at afr.net. Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, Tim Wildman, and Ray Pritchard here with you. This is on Tucker Carlson's show. He had a clip from former President Obama. He left his home in Washington, D.C., go, I think, 40 or 50 miles or so to his country club that he's a member of. Used government, you know, I guess Secret Service. I don't know what's provided for the our former presidents, but took a golf trip. Well, and that, you know, it's open air. I mean, golf is not dangerous in any way in terms of a virus spread. Mm-hmm. But the problem was that Michelle Obama had just done a public service announcement for people in Washington, D.C. to stay home.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Stay home. She said, stay home, stay safe. And they have a mandatory, do you call it quarantine? I don't know. They have a mandatory stay in your house, basically stay in your home order in Washington, D.C. But unless you're the former president, in which case you can take your Secret Service cars over so you can get an afternoon of golf in that everybody else is having to stay in their house.
Yeah, that reminds me of a similar type story 2 weeks ago where the Chicago mayor had all the hair salons shut down, but she went and got her haircut.
First things first.
Yeah.
Look good.
That's privilege, huh?
That's right.
And all sides take advantage of it. You know, I'm surprised President Trump hadn't tweeted on this because he's stuck in the White House. You know, not that the
right.
White House not a bad place to be stuck, but you know what I'm saying. He likes to get out and meet people and go places. He's a golfer himself, so but mm-hmm. he's stuck, so he's watching Obama go out and play when he's. But it was just, if you can see that on the Fox News website, it's the clip, and it's got Michelle Obama saying, "Stay at home, everybody. You must help us keep America safe." All the while, her husband's driving over to get him in an afternoon of golfing. All right, Dr. Alec McFarland will join us in a few minutes here on Today's Issues. Go ahead, Fred.
We'll put this under the latest example of Trump derangement syndrome.
Uh-huh.
We have a woman by the name of Brittany Cooper. Now, she's an associate professor in the Department of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Rutgers University.
Great gig if you can get it.
Yep. She is an African-American woman.
Uh-huh.
She is being quoted this morning as saying that if you're a Trump or Trump supporter, you are responsible for the fact that more African-Americans or a disproportionate number of African-Americans are dying from the coronavirus. That's what she says. You're responsible if you're a Trump supporter. And she says that Trump is trying to kill off more black Americans because he's now promoting the idea of starting to open up the country again. And just so you know that this has been kind of consistent with her, back some time ago, she also asserted the president's policies were partly to blame for weight problems among African-American women.
Yeah, well, she's just nuts.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is this is representative of university campuses. And the professors on college and university campuses, this has been proven with surveys, overwhelmingly are far left. Mm-hmm. Left to far left, let me put it that way. By overwhelmingly, I mean 80%, 90% mm-hmm. vote Democrat.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of diversity, despite the claim mm-hmm. that they support diversity. They do promote, by they, I mean college and universities, they do promote diversity among people based on their skin color and ethnicity and all those kinds of things. But as far as they do not support diversity when it comes to political beliefs or ideology. But this Rutgers University is a very prominent school. This professor did say, she used a very obscene word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She says, blank each and every Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely did this. You are to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about what African-Americans dying from coronavirus?
Well, and Dr. Fauci addressed this question about why there is a larger percentage of African-Americans who are being affected by this, and he said it has something to do with some genetic problems that we have known in the African-American community, diabetes problems, obesity problems. And that was his response to that question some time ago.
In other words, there are physical reasons. It's not because the white supremacists are in control of the virus.
No.
You know, the thing to me here that's concerning is this professor is saying she's being very extreme, obviously, I'm stating the obvious, but Democrats are also in a little bit milder tone blaming President Trump for this and that. But the people who get away, who get to escape responsibility here, is the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Democrats and the media, they just let China get a pass, and they're actually parroting Chinese propaganda
if you start getting into China, the Chinese communists or the communist Chinese's responsibility for this, then you're deflecting from the real person who's to blame for this around the world, and that's Donald Trump. So
I know, can't do that.
Right. Ray, don't you think?
This whole thing is so absurd. It started in China. They covered it up. They caused the death of thousands of people inside their own country, and they have covered that up until this present day. And whether or not it was, you know, deliberately engineered, I guess the jury is still somewhat out on that. That doesn't even matter at this point. It's a fact. They covered it up. Mm-hmm. Their own people died because of it. It spread across the world. Point the finger at China, not at the White House. Yeah. This did not start in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you mentioned, Tim, a moment ago, don't forget what Nancy Pelosi said earlier this week. She said President Trump is responsible for the death of 50,000 Americans.
Yeah. Adam Schiff said the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you want to, again, I've mentioned this before, you try to be fair in your criticisms of politicians, even those you disagree with, and sometimes that's hard to do sometimes that's hard to do. So with President Trump, if Nancy Pelosi and others wanted to, and the media wanted to offer honest, fact-based criticisms of the president, his administration, on how they did or didn't do something, how they handled the coronavirus situation, I'm open to listen to that. I'm sure there were mistakes made along the way. This is new. This was something that we had never had to contend with, this kind of thing. So I'm sure President Trump made some mistakes. However, when you can't even have any objectivity at all, rather you go straight to he's responsible for 50,000 deaths. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ray, right. Then I'm not going to listen to anything else you say, because obviously you don't care about being fair. You just want to try to score some points with, I guess, people who don't pay attention to the news very much and only listen to the headlines. And Nancy Pelosi says Donald Trump caused 50,000 deaths. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't do enough to stop the coronavirus. My question, too, would be to these media and liberal Democrats, please cite for me somewhere in the world where this was handled correctly and perfectly so that we can learn.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Look, the whole thing is the whole thing is a sham, because look, there's no love lost between Ms. Pelosi and Mr. Trump, right? We all know that. So they're not inviting each other over for Christmas party or anything like that. So we know there's bad blood there on both sides. Mr. Trump, whatever mistakes he may have made in terms of the early days of responding, and that's open for, Tim, as you said, for legitimate debate, right? How fast,
right.
All that's. He's not responsible for a single one of these deaths. The virus got
right,
loose
right.
in our country.
Yeah,
the
right.
virus is what's killing people.
Around the world.
President. Right.
So, yeah. So, anyway, I wish these folks, I would respect them more, not that I have a lot of respect for them, if they would just come out, Nancy Pelosi, for example, and say this: I hate Donald Trump with a passion. Okay? I can't hate anybody more. All right? So anything he does, I'm going to say is wrong. So I'm just going to lay it out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you have my pat answer for anything you want to ask me about Donald Trump. That way I don't have to get into defending myself.
Right.
So just that would be a more honest.
Yeah. We're dealing with crooked people, though. And, I mean, look at what they destroy. I mean, look at the Brett Kavanaugh situation. Look at what they did to President Trump on the investigation. I mean, everything they do is crooked. They have no semblance of honesty in their soul whatsoever. It's all purely political.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Alex McFarland is with us now. Alex co-hosts the radio program Exploring the Word each afternoon from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Central Time with Brother Bert Harper. That is a live on-air Bible study program, and we encourage you to listen each afternoon if you want to learn more about the Scriptures. Alex, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay, we haven't talked about a topic for you today, but I have one in mind that I, that you can handle.
Okay.
And we need to talk about this from time to time because there maybe there are new listeners to AFR who are new Christians, or maybe there are people listening to us who are not believers, but they're skeptics or they want to know what they've tuned in so they can hear these crazy Christians talk about things, right?
Yeah,
I want to ask. I want to let's get into this topic for a few minutes, Alex. It's a deep topic that's really a theology class, I guess. But there are a lot of people who wonder how we can trust the Bible to be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know the Bible as an ancient book written thousands of years ago, but how do we know, Alex, that the Bible is indeed the Word of God?
Great question. Great question. There's kind of a short answer and a long answer, and
it's all yours. Answer, you go with it.
All right. Well,
whatever you want to say.
The short answer is because Jesus said so, and he was raised from the dead. Now, I mean, think about this. John 10:35. Jesus said, "The Scripture cannot be broken," and I've done this in a number of debates. I've debated professors and skeptics that would say the Bible isn't true, and I would say, well, Jesus affirmed the inspiration of Scripture. Was he right or was he wrong? Mm-hmm. Now, skeptics will think a minute and they'll say, well, he was wrong. I'm like, really? Jesus Christ, most moral man that ever lived, impeccable credentials, virgin-born sinless life, rose from the dead. You know, think about this, folks. Until the credentials of the doubter can eclipse the resume of the only man who rose from the dead, Jesus, it really behooves us to accept Christ's assessment of Scripture. Christ affirmed the Old, repeatedly affirmed the Old Testament Scriptures. His words were from God, because he's the Son of God, and then he made provision for the New Testament, because in John 14:26-27, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will remind you of all things whatsoever I've told you." So Christ affirmed the old, and he made provision for the new testaments. So the short answer is, we believe the Bible because Jesus said so, and he was raised from the dead. And no, you know, no atheist, no critic, no doubter can rise from the dead.
But Alex, you're using the Bible to defend the Bible.
Exactly. So that's their one response to that is, well, you're being circular. Now, the fact is, though, that we've got Jewish, Greek, and Roman sources that are not the Bible, that in fact were hostile to Christianity in the first two centuries, that affirm Jesus was a man who did miracles, Jesus was crucified, Jesus was said to have risen from the dead. So while I get that the main objection to Christ's affirmation of the Bible would be that Jesus can't be used to defend Jesus. But here's the thing. Many great historians, I'll give you one dead, one living, Will Durant, one of the greatest historians who ever lived, and then John Meacham, who recently wrote a book about the resurrection called The Hope of Glory. John Meacham is a Pulitzer-winning historian, a member of the American Fellows of Historians, and Meacham says that Jesus lived, Jesus rose, his words have been accurately preserved. But let's step away from Jesus for a minute, even though I absolutely believe the New Testament can be viewed as a credible historical source. Here's the thing. Think about this, and what we're doing is making a cumulative case for the Bible. You've got the amazing indestructibility of Scripture, the amazing life-changing power, the prophetical accuracy, the historical accuracy, the scientific accuracy, the amazing worldwide circulation, the amazing worldwide influence. There's no other book, certainly not the Quran, there's no other book that has been so well-preserved, demonstrated such power to change lives, to shape history, to predict history in advance, fulfill prophecy, amazing scientific accuracy, historical accuracy. At the very least, I talk to skeptics and I'll say, look, you have to at least grant that the Bible appears to have this amazing supernatural power to touch lives and shape history. But here's a question for which no skeptic or Muslim imam has an answer. Because they'll say, the Bible has been changed or corrupted or altered. You can't really trust it. So I've asked in debates with imams, because they say the New Testament is untrustworthy. Bart Ehrman, an atheist, says the Bible has, quote, errors. I'll say, okay, we have a manuscript history of the Old Testament. We have a manuscript lineage of the New Testament. We know what was written, when it was written. It's been copied to this very day. Now, here's the big question, folks. If the skeptic says the Bible has been corrupted, ask them, okay, what are the changes and when were they inserted? Crickets chirping. Yeah. Because seriously, the skeptic will say, the Bible's been corrupted. Okay, fair enough. What were the changes and when were they stuck in? Because we know what the manuscript said, thousands and thousands of manuscripts. So preservation is one thing that we can amply defend. Was it of divine origin? That's the second question.
Because we're talking about the Bible to reset here.
Sure.
My question
sure.
to Alex a few minutes ago was, how can the Bible be trusted? And so he's given reasons for that.
Yeah.
Ray, did you want to jump in here?
Yeah, Alex, whenever we talk about the reliability of the Bible, and I'm so grateful for everything that you've just said. It's so clear. But say something to us about archaeology, because that's we hear about archaeologists. That's such a specialized discipline. The average listener, and I certainly include myself in this group, and we don't do archaeology. So I have two questions about it. What role does the digging up of the ground, digging up the temple, digging up in the Holy Land, what role does archaeology play in determining the truthfulness of the Bible? And I guess then second bigger question is, do the facts of archaeology, do they tend to support the authenticity and truthfulness of the Bible, or do they lead us in some other direction?
Well, great question, Ray. Archaeological discoveries more than tend to support the Bible. They overwhelmingly, unequivocally support the Bible. You know, it's pretty interesting. Archaeology is a relatively young discipline, being around about 200 years or less. And, you know, think of some of the amazing things confirmed by archaeology that at one time skeptics thought was just Old Testament hyperbole. Things like Solomon having horse stables that could accommodate 750 horses. King David, some of the conquests of Joshua in the Old Testament. The city of Ur, you know, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. And, you know, at one point, skeptics said that, Moses couldn't have written the first five books of the Bible. Writing didn't even exist at the time of Moses. Well, now we know writing existed 1,000 years before Moses. There are a lot of names I could name, like William F. Albright, Nelson Gluck, Oswald Allis, O.T. Allis. Here's the thing, folks. One writer said this: with every turn of the archaeologist's spade, a new page of Scripture has been confirmed. And Nelson Gluck, who was at one time just in his lifetime was one of the world's preeminent biblical archaeologists, he said, no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. So, Ray, you make a great point. Things like the Pool of Siloam, the House of Caiaphas, so many of the things from the life of Jesus that really Luke and Acts so meticulously point out, oh my goodness, over and over, archaeology has confirmed, and there has never, to my knowledge, ever been an archaeological discovery that has negated a biblical passage, only confirmed it.
Hey, by the way, you can read about it, and then a lot of people like myself and you all here and many listening have been to Israel and seen the evidence for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
of the archaeological digs, the discoveries, the sites, the places, those things that have been preserved, the natural places like the Sea of Galilee, for example, the Dead Sea. mm-hmm. the city of Jerusalem, the city of Bethlehem, city of Jericho, some say the oldest city in civilization. These things you can see for yourselves. They still exist today by the same names. Mm. Names that appear in the Bible over and over and over again. So, Alex, one question about that, then we'll let you go here. Can you name one or two books in something you've written maybe that you would refer people to who are listening right now who say, I'd like to read more on this about, you know, so I can have more faith in the Bible?
Well, thanks for asking. Do you know, one of the books that I would recommend, and forgive me for recommending one of my own books, but I wrote a book called The God You Thought You Knew, Exposing 10 Common Myths About Christianity. And we also did an audiobook, which is available at the AFA store. And so the book was published by Bethany House. And I interviewed over 300 college students because I was really trying to reach, you know, the millennials. So in this book, we answer a number of questions about the trustworthiness of the Bible, common objections. And then we did an audiobook, so The God You Thought You Knew. But the other, do you know, there's so many.
Let me give the place to get that, okay, The God You Thought You Knew, because you're referring. Go to afastore.net. That's our ministry here, American Family Association, who owns and operates American Family Radio. And so Alex's that book, both the audio book and the paper book, are available, right?
Yeah, exactly.
At afastore.net, afastore.net. Walker, if you could get the phone number, or Brent, get the phone number to call the store, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead.
Well, and then the other, just if you want to get into like apologetics, defending the Bible, a really good starting point, and he's like a father to me, literally, Josh McDowell. Years ago, he did a very famous book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, but recently, because there's so many new, not only archaeology, but the manuscripts, oh my goodness, but he wrote a book called The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Christianity Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. And easy to find if you go on Amazon and Google Josh McDowell. And you know what? Let me just
also
say this.
More Than a Carpenter is an excellent book by Josh McDowell.
For real. You know, folks, I'll say this very quickly. Biology, chemistry, physics, anthropology, history. It's been our privilege to meet and interview PhDs in all of these fields. Astrophysics. People that are PhDs, highly educated, intelligent people that have looked at the evidence and they said, hey, this is real, and they've become followers of Christ. Lee Strobel with a law degree from Yale University. I think about two of the world's preeminent philosophers, William Lane Craig and J.P. Moreland, both personal friends, both devout believers. I think about James Tour, one of the 50 most... he was named one of the 50 most significant scientists in the world, a synthetic chemist, a born-again believer. You can trust the Bible, and it tells us of Jesus who loves you personally.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it, my friend.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Listen to Exploring the Word today at 3 p.m. Central.
That's right. 3 p.m. Central this afternoon, live on-air Bible study. Dr. Alex McFarland. The book he's talking about is The God You Thought You Knew. And our phone number to order that is 877-927-4917. Or simply go to afastore.net, afastore.net, and you can get the book and the paper book and the audio book by Dr. Alex McFarland. Thank you, Fred.
All right. Take care, guys.
Ray Walker, yours truly, will be back with Steve Jardahl in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.